Thank you. Thank you that you are in us, that you are working in our lives, that you are using us, Lord, to spread, Lord, the truth, the gospel of the kingdom, and to, Lord, establish the things that you want on earth. We praise and thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guide us and empower us to do all things that need to be done as we trust in you and your word, and you believe what you say. And just, Lord, quicken to us the truth that we may be set free in all the areas of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Yep. Good. Praise the Lord. You see, that's the thing that we doubt ourselves. And that's not a good thing. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you and you are open to Him, He'll guide you. And even if you are wrong, you'll learn the lesson. So you always do what you feel the Lord is telling you to do. Even if that is not, you know, doesn't match or you are afraid of or whatever it is. Okay, the thing is that the only way for us to grow in our experience with the Lord is to be willing to be a fool. All right? Because if we try to protect, you see, that's part of dying. Die to our own ego. Die to our own trying to pick up. You know, many people serve the Lord in their mind and their physical abilities. And that doesn't really do much for His kingdom. See, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So you don't need to be anything special. You know, nobody is special. And the people that think they are special, they are fooling themselves. Okay? We are in His hands. And we have to be willing to be in His hands. And to do the things He calls us to do, even if we feel that we are not qualified. Because it's not that we qualified ourselves. It's not that, you know, our education qualifies us. It's not that the papers that we got from the place saying that we are this or the other thing are qualifying us. He qualifies us. Amen. We are qualified through what Jesus did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we are getting, you know, understanding the Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit works in our life is so important. And, you know, I don't want to be critical. I don't want to, you know, put people down. But, you know, one of the speakers there was a pretty well-established minister in the POC. And he was complaining about the fact that POC wasn't really moving in the Spirit anymore. They wasn't doing anything, you know. Well, their colleges teach that speaking in tongues is not essential after you are filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you expect? That's a standard routine. But see, what turned me off, sorry, I'm sticky for the beliefs, the right beliefs, the right doctrines. You know, he talked about all the fact, you know, the Holy Spirit, that, you know, we should worship the Holy Spirit, we should have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But he didn't say one thing that actually was shown that was not a demonstration of how actually be connected with the Holy Spirit. And what he said was just, you know, what everybody says that has no power. So the things that he was criticizing either, he was the reflection of. Instead of being, you know, say, well, that's what You know, it's not just the question, we have to fellowship, we have to think about the Holy Spirit. It's more than that. Anyway, to me, it demonstrated where they are at. And that's why there are no miracles in most of the churches, Pentecostal churches I'm talking about. Because unless the Spirit can actually, truly do things, and that's not a show. See, that's the thing that people think, that the Holy Spirit to do something has to be making a show. Jesus always refused to make a show for them. He said, you are asking him, show us. And he always refused when he was doing it that in front of their face all the time. But he was making that showmanship that they expected. You know, that reminds me, actually, Ronan, when Elijah was praying for the fire to come down, he didn't make any fuss. Balaam prophets, they were there flagellating and stuff, screaming, yelling, jumping around, trying to get the things moving. And this was just false fire. He didn't say just, Lord, show them. First he was teasing them. Why, your God must be sleeping. Even with all this noise. But that's my version of it. And he said, Lord, show them who is the God of Israel. And the thing came down and burned everything. No fuss, no show, nothing. Just the word. People think that to pray for somebody, you have to scream and yell. And sometimes, to get into it, you may end up doing a bit of that. But you don't need to do that. The expectations are wrong. The only Jesus said one time, according to your faith, be done unto you. That's it. That wasn't, he didn't need a preparation of music. Didn't go around with the quartet, there playing and singing so the atmosphere will go up. Oh, let's get the atmosphere to go up so that we can get God to move. Are you thinking you can manipulate God with your music? You can't do that. This stuff is false doctrine. That's false doctrine. Anyway, so we are talking about the promise of the Father, the Spirit moving, and the fact that, the promise of immortality. Jesus said it very clearly, I am the life, who believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Okay, that's the key. Believing, actually, that's a reality. And it's true, at different levels, evidently, because some of us will die in the physical, but we are not going to die. Because it's just a passage from one state to another where the important part is not going, and the spirit, our spirit and our soul are going to come back together, and it's going to prove the way Jesus did it himself. I am the one that was alive and was dead. That's what he said in Revelation chapter 1. I am the one that was alive and was dead, and I will live forevermore. Amen. This is we are in the same place. We haven't got there yet, but we will. Soon and very soon. The point is, the idea is that we have to really believe what the Word says instead of really making up things and trying to make it up with our own stories, with your own shows. Okay. There are so many things that actually, we read all the time and we just agree with them theoretically, but when it comes to reality, you really don't believe. If you really believe that you will never die, you shouldn't be afraid of death. But that's what the Word says, that His resurrection, with His resurrection, He took the key of aid or hell and death. And so he is the one that controlled the thing. He's the one that, and we are guaranteed that we are not going to die because he's life eternal. We got life eternal. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's something that should, You know, fear of death is bondage. That's what the word says. They were kept in bondage because of the fear of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. So this is the thing that we had to come to realize, that we still, if we're afraid to die, there is something that we have not experienced in the reality of the transformation that Jesus did for us as we were born again, and especially when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when we are born again, our understanding doesn't change us so much except in our spirit. But when we are spirit-filled, there is a change that takes place at the physical level, because our bodies start to respond to the power of the Spirit, and we start operating in our body through His power that comes not just from us, but just goes through us. Now, that can happen to a degree also when we are just born again. But when we are spirit-filled, we are used to allow, because it's us, you know, we play a part in that. We allow it to manifest through us, through our body, to the way we do, the way we act. Not just the way so that we can put up a show, but in the way that we have victory over different things. Praise the Lord. So, believing in the resurrection and experiencing the resurrection power is a very important component of our experience as believers. We as believers should live in resurrection power. That limit doesn't, we should not limit Him according to our own strength. But we should allow His power to work in us. And when we need it, to heal us. And when we need strength, to strengthen us. And when we need to know what to do and to be taking the right decision, to depend on us. And when He gives us some direction or some word for us to speak out, to speak it out. See, this is why gifts are so important. It's not the gifts are all the ultimatum. We should start, when we walk really in the Spirit, we don't need the specific, gifts. It's just we walk there all the time. But when that's how we start. We start becoming, having an experience of that, and that is when we get the gifts. The gifts are just for new believers. People without spiritual experience, so that they need to depend on the Holy Spirit to come through us. But as the more we start to walk with Him, the more those things are going to be naturally the expression that we live in. if you see somebody that is sick and needs healing, you don't need to wait for the manifestation of the gifts of healing. If gifts of healings. You just take action and go what the word says. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, if you're doing that, when you take that action, the Spirit comes on you and you start and you operate in one of the gifts, great. But you don't wait for that and don't do anything because, I don't feel the anointing. You feel the anointing is completely secondary. It's not. The anointing is always there. If you feel it, or not. If you got the Holy Spirit, you got the anointing. Because that's what the anointing is. It's not the feeling that you have. The feeling that you have is the reaction of your body to the anointing that is there. In John chapter 3, there talks about the anointing which is in you. The anointing dwells, doesn't come and go. Oh, the anointing lifted. So if it lifted, that means it went. So then if it went, that means you don't have the Holy Spirit. You get saved. Better get saved to get it back. Doesn't make any sense. See, that's crazy theology. All right, but that's what most of the people teach. They haven't read the Bible, so it looks like. Because you just read the Bible and that's what it says. We make up things according to traditions of men. Then we wonder why God doesn't work, doesn't do things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We had to realize the meaning of when Jesus was on the cross and said, "It is finished." Okay? I mean, if it's finished, what it means? There is nothing else to do. What happened after that was not the work that he was sent on earth to do, but was this job after. Okay? His ministry on earth was terminated, you know, but he's, you know, he still was around to teach and to do some of the things for a while. But, you know, really what was essential was done, and with his resurrection, he sealed what he had done and demonstrated and give us the proof that what he has done worked and is working for us too. See, we are the same. We, you know, when we are born again, he was the first born of the dead. That's what we do. Now, if we die because we die before Jesus coming, or we just going to be, it doesn't really, this is just a formality that has affected us only limitedly. If we understand what we have, who we are, that is what we are talking about, then this is a secondary thing. The real important thing is what happened in our spirit. So for Jesus, you know, what Jesus accomplished with his resurrection. I mean, evidently he was resurrected. You know, there are things as they did before. I said, you know, he took the key of aid and death. And, you know, he was demonstrating, you know, that what he had done worked. You know, he essentially made sure that we understand that actually, you know, when he said your sins are forgiven, that actually they are forgiven. Okay? But we had to understand that what Jesus did, everything Jesus did, didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. So we have to realize that he didn't need to die. He didn't need to go on the cross for himself. He had everything already. He did it for us. So we were the purpose for which he went through, and his desire for us to receive everything that he did. So that what he did was not vain for us. If we don't receive results from his resurrection, and from his death, burial, and resurrection, then he wasted his time for us. And we are really not appreciating and not receiving what he has done. So it has to be our desire to get everything that we can from what God Jesus did. Everything. To just let nothing untouched. Turn every stone to just find out what's there. Amen? Amen. So, you know, praise the Lord. And one of the things that he did at the beginning, at the end of the time when he was moving from one state to the other, he's telling us that we need the Holy Spirit. You know? In John 16:7 said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, I mean, it's advantage for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter," and he's not just the Comforter, he is everything, you know, he's our power, a healer, everything that does for us, you know, "will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send it unto you." So this is the thing, the most important thing that he did, beside, you know, the part that was coming before, it was forgiving our sins and making us born again. See, born again was the beginning, the opening of the door. But then the enablement was coming with the second phase. And he himself stressed the importance of that. And we should give importance to that because he did give importance to it. With all the aspects that were involved. We had to read the word. And from the word aside, the component, the things that should be manifesting in us, the things that we should experience. You know, experience is not everything, and sometimes experience doesn't happen instantaneously. But sooner or later, there has to be an effect on our physical and emotional and mental and every condition of our body. Because if it doesn't, nothing happens. This is why when we talk about healing, okay, So you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The healing may not be instantaneous, but there has to be something happening right there and then. There has to be the switch going on in which there is going to be a beginning of a manifestation of the operation of the Spirit in healing us. It may take more time to complete the work because it has to happen on the physical, but there has to be something taking place right there and then to prove to you, to show you, to motivate you to keep going, keeping your faith working so that you know that it's happening. And that it's happening doesn't mean it's going to take 10 years. When something, you see, when something happens, if something starts to move right away. Often, you see, when people don't see something taking place, I didn't get it, or it didn't work. So, I mean, what they are saying, that what God said, is not true. Because they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Doesn't say if they have faith, doesn't say if this is work. You know, it says just these are believers, and they should receive it. There are no ifs and buts there. So the thing, the attitude they should have is, I received it. I believe it. It's going to happen. Now, if there is no manifestation at all, it's kind of difficult, especially if you don't understand the proper theology of this, that you are going to be accepting defeat before you got it. And your position is important. Because that's the way the faith has to be working on you. Or has to be working on the person that pray for you. But generally the person pray for you is going to be manifested. Something is going to be manifested right there and then. And often the healing takes place, especially when there is a structural change, when there is a physical change that has to take place, not when you are aware of it. Generally happens, you go to bed, go to sleep, the following morning, you realize the thing is gone. Or if it's not that quick, you know, you can start seeing things progressing as you hold on your faith. But you have to hold on your faith as it progresses. Because if the moment you say, you start seeing something and say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Thank you for reminding me. You say that shift, you know, your faith is shift off by the things you say because the word of your mouth have an effect on you. Okay. So I'm trying to cover this today, no way. All right. So Jesus did all these things, and we have to realize these things, but you know, didn't work for him only, it worked for us. He did, you know, what he did had an effect on the devil. Immediate effect on the devil. You see, the devil authority over man was ended right there and then. Up to that moment, the devil had authority over man because man had given it to him. He put himself under him with Adam, accepting that believing him and doing following his suggestion instead of following God. So the authority of the devil was upon him and he was under that. With Jesus, he took it back to man, because that's why he came as a man. Took back as man the authority, and he defeated Satan on the battleground. So as a consequence of that, the devil has no any more ability to put people in bondage to sickness or sin or anything else. That part was finished, but he still does it. And he does it because people let him. You see, we have authority to tell him what to do, not be told by him. If he accepts, you see, this is why he works by defeat. That's the way he defeated Adam and Eve, just suggesting. Did God really say that? The moment when you say, did I really get healed? It's exactly the same thing. You see, then you have, you know, the fact that you had that thought, guess who's coming from? Okay, I don't need to explain that. The point is, you know, that's not that you, the moment you doubted it. Just because the thought comes to you doesn't mean that you are agreeing with that thought. You have to agree with it before you doubt it. See, doubt is sin. Why is sin? Because it's not of faith. I mean, faith is believing the word of God. Doubting is not believing the word of God. Anything that is not of sin, of faith is sin. So doubting is sin. And what is doubting, though? Doubting is the moment when you agree with something that is contrary to the word of God. A thought comes to you doesn't mean that you agree with it. You are not protected from the devil to just put ideas into you. But you can make decision. Jesus was tempted, wasn't he? He was tempted 3 times in the desert, doesn't he? And the ideas that came to him weren't really God's idea, were they? But he said to die, did he take them? He rejected them and says, no. The word says, I believe what God said. I believe God, I don't believe you. You see, the same thing with you. If a thought comes to you and doesn't line up with the word of God, you are not necessarily sinning. You are not necessarily, doubting the word of God. It's that somebody put it there. And you have the choice to choose between accepting it and rejecting it. You take a position, there is no problem. Actually, you get stronger. Okay, so you take the position, you throw it in his face. There's no way. This said by stripes, I'm healed. All right? And that's the time, that's the way you actually grow in strength. And so instead of overcoming you, you overcome him because he's defeated already. All right? Praise the Lord. So that's what we had to do. That's what we had to do. The old bondage, sickness and disease, that's what bondage is. And sin. You see? Everything that the devil does is illegal. And he's a thief. And he comes to you lying, and that's the way he gets people. He puts feelings even in the body sometimes. He puts ideas in your mind. That's the time when you had to reject it. If you got healed, and you go out of this place, and the devil put the pain in you, instead of saying, oh, I lost it, you say, no, in Jesus' name, go! And I'll tell you, if you take a position, you won't stay there. I remember, Kenneth Hagin, he was healed by a heart problem, it was somebody else. But Kenneth Hagin was telling the story about this guy that had arthritis. He prayed for him and got completely free from all the pain. Then went out and was walking on the street, and there the pain was starting to come back. Well, he knew enough what to do. He sat right on the, place there, right on the street there, and started screaming, now you go! Until he just had to say it 3 times. It was gone. It didn't come back. But you had to know, but unless you take the position, you had to be aggressive against the attacks of the enemy. Instead of being there, weakling, allowing him to push you around. He's trying to push around everybody, but you had to take a position and say, no, I'm standing there and nobody's going to move you. The word says, just the same way Jesus did it. It is written. Buzz off. All right? So, sickness can come from many different origins. So, it's kind of difficult to say in general, But he has not the right, no matter to do, or to put sickness on anybody, not even non-believers. In fact, you can go around, even if you sin, he doesn't have the right to put sickness on you. Oh, well, what? There are consequences. Sorry, we are in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. He came to give the good news. The good news of freedom, that God is not mad at you. No matter what the preachers of the past said. That's what the angel came to say. That was the good news that really for us is difficult sometimes to take. But the thing is in the very moment when you sin, you start feeling guilty and you open up yourself because you start judging yourself. Jesus healed everybody, sinners and not sinners. But actually, he only healed sinners because nobody was born again. Are you following what I'm saying? So we should be in a much better position. Now, some sickness are results of sowing and reaping. I mean, if you do all the wrong thing, well, likely you damage your body. Now, the point is, it's pretty difficult to do all the right thing either, too. Huh? Praise God that God is not there seeing if you do all the right thing or the wrong thing. No matter what, you can get healed. But it's much better to stay healed than to try to get healed all the time because you do all the wrong thing. All right? All right. The important thing to recognize is that, you know, they say, you know, the devil made me do it. It's the greatest lie of the enemy. Okay, the devil cannot make you do anything. If you choose to do what he tells you to do, it's a choice that we make. He'll do it in a way that he deceives you. Okay? He could not do it with Jesus. And even non-believers have the ability to choose what they are doing. Sometimes they do things better than believers because they have more, you know, they have a personality that stand on the doing the right thing. Or they've been trained. Okay, some believers, they've been coming up from a messy background, and when they become a believer, they don't know any better. But God is there to change them and to empower them and to enable them. You know, there is a big story that I heard lots of people talking about. You know, can a Christian have a demon? Absolutely. Can Christian be sick? Hello? You know, bondage. It's bondage of the devil. You know, Acts 10:38. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So, evidently, the devil can put oppression on believers. Okay? Now, the degree to understand is the degree in which a believer can be oppressed depends only on the degree that they allow the enemy to put it there. Sometimes they don't know that they have to stand for the truth. They don't know that they have the right to walk in health because Jesus paid for their sins. And he paid for their sicknesses. So they can walk in health. But they don't know it. And they go around sick. And they don't take a position and say, oh, maybe God is going to teach us a lesson. Is teaching us a lesson. And that's another lie that the enemy put on Christian people. The Holy Spirit doesn't put lessons by bringing people sick. He teaches people through his word. Anyway, all right. So, we need to understand our position. We need to stand on our position. And we have to take a position there. Now, the effect of what Jesus did is also toward us. And this is really the part that is for us more important because that's what we want to see happening. Okay? Okay? First of all, you know, he was has forgiven our sins. Okay, we talked about that quite a bit, so you don't need to go through that. You know, sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit starts to come in us. Okay, so, but what is happening is at the end of his ministry, he said very clearly, you know, came and spoke to them and said, all authority and power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, that means watch it, think about it. I am with you always. Not just when you feel like him. all the time. He's always there. And even to the end of the age of the earth. So the idea, you know, that he actually gave us the authority and commanded us to go out to minister to others. So he gave us his authority. He gave us his ministry. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted and so on and so forth. That's, you know, the part that, we have his ministry and we are called to do that for for others. He gave us the Holy Spirit because he said, you know, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you. The Holy Spirit came. We don't need to wait anymore. We just need to receive him. Amen? He gave us the ability to, you know, he gave us control over demons and all the forces of darkness. I mean, the devil is under us, not on top of us. Because Jesus defeated him. He put them under our feet. He said, you know, you can step on scorpions and serpents. In no way they shall hurt you. I mean, you know, in no way. So we shouldn't go around and say, oh, the devil is going to get me, or the devil is going to get you. No way. Says, no way the devil, anything shall hurt you. So you should walk in confidence, in security, knowing that you are untouchable by him. The only way he can touch you is because you let him. But you have to take that position, because otherwise he sneaks in with his lies. So you have to take that position strongly within you. And this is nothing else as scriptures. If you don't know that you have power over the devil, then he's going to come in through his fear of him, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do with you. And many believers don't know that. Don't go around afraid of the devil. Don't say that because, you know, if he hears. My Bible says that we are hidden in him, so he cannot even see us. It's only when we stick our head out of Christ that he can see us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So, give us authority. Give us power. Give us over the forces of darkness. Give us ability to heal and to restore and to deliver people. Mark 16. Who believes in me and is baptized, but does not believe, is condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say the believers shall follow these signs. Somebody got it. I mean, that's what many believers do. They follow signs. And often they're false signs. You know, like feathers falling from the roof or gold dust. I mean, God is there to produce gold dust, to make up a show. Don't need to do that. You know, people that will give gold teeth. They've been analyzed, some of these results. They were all fake. Don't let people, you know, that play games deceive you. Hallelujah. So, all the signs are said in Mark 16:16-18. All right. You know, the other things that he has done. You know, when we are baptized, okay, something happened to us. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many as you are were baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. I mean, putting on Christ, what does it mean? That we are starting, you know, we start to look outside, putting on, that means he's outside us, you know, on top of us. So we look, that means that we look like him. We act like him. We do things like he did. Why? Because we have put on him. See, and putting on is a choice. It's something that we had to choose and we had to implement. It's not happening automatically. Just because you are born again doesn't mean that you are being to put on Christ. It's when you start working on that and establishing that in your life that is going to happen. All right. If you sin, it's because you choose to sin. Don't say, I cannot help it. Even non-believers can help it. You choose what you do. Okay? There are no generational curses anymore. People keep holding on to that and say, oh, you know, because your father was an alcoholic, you know, you're going to be likely to be an alcoholic. This is a choice you make. In Ezekiel chapter 18, this is Old Testament. It says, as I live. I mean, what more of a declaration of God can be when God says, as I live? That's the strongest thing that he could ever say. I mean, on his life, he's making that statement. Says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. That was Old Testament. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die, not because the Father did it. That means you have the choice to do. You see, when you see your father, your mother, whoever it is sinning, you have the choice to follow what they are doing or choosing to do what is right. Praise the Lord. Okay? Hallelujah. Oh. I had to stop here because we got our time is running out. Too bad, eh? Hallelujah. So let's open up to the Spirit of God. Okay, you see, the part of it is not just theology, it's not just theory, it's implementation. It's for us to take what Jesus has done for us. And to start affirming it. Say, well, you know, I don't see it. Well, you have to start someplace. You start agreeing, start confessing it, and it's going to be manifest. That's the way salvation comes. Salvation is deliverance from all the things that the devil puts on us. So you start speaking what God has done for you, agreeing with it, appropriating it, and start manifesting it. So that's the thing you have to do. So you can start, you know, confessing, for example, that your sins are forgiven. Lots of people, you know, they're forgiven, and they go around feeling, oh, you know, I did all these things in the past. That person is dead. Jesus died for that person. The payment for those all those sins that you did, that I did, that everybody did, is done already. The only thing you have to do is to appropriate it. Say, yes, I take it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we can start right there. Thank you, Lord. I take deliverance and freedom for all the consequences of sin. I've been set free. I'm forgiven. I receive, Lord, today your blessings. Those things are gone and are not going to come back. I forget them because God forgot them. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. All right, then we can move from there. The Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have something to confess right there. Is inside you. You don't need to go around expecting, Lord, let the anointing follow me, because the anointing is inside you. Amen. You know, people filled with the Holy Spirit go around seeking the anointing. This is unscriptural. They seek for a feeling instead of seeking the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a presence inside us. And, you know, John 3 says very clearly, the anointing which is in you. So don't say, don't denounce, don't reject the word of God saying that you got it. You just thank him about that. So that's the test, confession that we have to do all the time. See, I see so many ministers go around, seek God. Are you? They use Old Testament scriptures to make with themselves on the way they walk. If you got Holy Spirit within you, God should be inside you. Just listen to what He's saying to you. Don't go around denying His job, His work. I mean, you're just slapping His face. Are you listening to me? I see, you know, I get so upset when I see this minister saying these things that are actually contrary to the Word of God, and they think they are pious. They are saying to Jesus that what He did wasn't good enough. Now they had to do some work to get it. The only thing they had to do is to believe what He did. He did it. It is finished. Said it's finished. I mean, we saw it before. I have the Holy Spirit. That's your confession. Let's confess it together. Praise you, Lord. I have the Holy Spirit. It dwells in me. It doesn't come and go. It's always there. He never leaves you nor forsake me. He ministers to me, comforts me, guides me, empowers me, heals me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I receive it. And I'm going to walk in that reality. Praise you, Lord. I just love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, when you start confessing these things, even if you have no feeling whatsoever, you're going to get goosebumps because, you know, that's there is a normal result. But it's not because you're not waiting for them to come. You tell them to come. You know, Wigglesworth said, you know, when the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I get Him to move. Well, that's what you have to do. You see, God expects you to do the work that He called you to do. And so you have a part to play. If you're waiting for Him to do it, nothing is going to happen. See, God waits for us to do things. Okay. Why is we doing another confession? Doesn't matter if you're late. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, eternal life. That's a good one. All right? Let's confess eternal life. I mean, that's something that, you know, we don't need to be afraid to die. I mean, we'll live forever. I mean, our body is just a suit that we put on in the morning. And when we get out of bed, we can, you know, I think Lake was going, you know, each morning when he was going before the mirror says, you know, look at himself, says, you know, okay, this suit, as you know, inside this suit there is God. He was right. He was right, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's thank God about that. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that came to dwell in me. I'm going to walk with Him. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to manifest the Spirit and the power of the gifts and all the power that I need to do the work that You call me to do. And I praise You and thank You, Lord, for making this possible for me. I receive it. I have it. I don't need to go and look for it. I have it now because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I give You glory and honor, Lord. And I'll use my body to give You glory for the things I do that are according to Your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when if you wake up in the morning and start making this confession, doesn't take too much that you start dancing around the room. Amen. You see, God wants us to be in victory, but not just because we say it. And we go around like defeated. You want us to go in victory and experience that and be full of it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that we can come together. Thank You, Lord, that Your Spirit is with us to fill us up, to empower us, to enable us, Lord, and to give us the life that we need, Lord. We just give You all the honor and the glory, Lord. Use us the way we are, Lord. with all our shortcoming and limitation, and set us free more and more, that we may manifest your salvation, Lord, and that people may see, Lord, that you are your children. Children of God, sons of God, brothers with Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.